simply praying for revival. Growing in grace means the Christian is allowing God to direct his daily decisions. Revival happens when a believer begins to view his life, his actions, his attitudes, his relationships the same way that God views them. See, revival is whenever I begin to get the mind of Christ, not only about the fact that the world needs rescue, that things need to change in our world, but I begin to get the mind of Christ whenever I even view my own heart and my life. I want to see my life through the eyes of the Word of God, through the eyes of Jesus Christ. In revival is saying whenever I read in the Word of God and it convicts me about something, I am willing to allow God to change that in my life. Revival happens when that believer not only begins to view his life, his actions, his attitudes, and his relationships the same way God does, but whenever the believer begins to allow God to change his life, his actions, his attitudes, and his relationships to a way that pleases God. We will never have a God-sent revival until we have a God-seeking repentance. I'm going to say that again. We'll never have a God-sent revival until we have a God-seeking repentance. It's important for the believers to come to God, not as though we are perfect, but as though we are people in need of help and in need of change. God desires that His people live and function by His power and by His direction. Psalm 81. I know that it's given to the nation of Israel, but there are some passages in here that I believe will be a help to us. Psalm 81, verse number 1 says, "Sing aloud unto God our strength." By the way, that's the reason why I talked about singing. All right? "Sing aloud unto God. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel and pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet and the new moon in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this is a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not." You know, Joseph dwelt in a strange land. Oftentimes I look around and I see things happening in my nation, and I think and feel like I'm dwelling in a strange land and a language that I understand not. "I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots." Can I tell you something? Even in a strange land, God will not put you in a position where you will fail. He will enable you. He will strengthen you. He will remove the burden. He will carry the burden along with you. "Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah." Selah. "Hear, O my people, and I'll testify unto thee, O Israel. Here's a key. If thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall be no strange god in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange God." That's God seeking repentance there. That's God asking God, "God, is there another in my life that has my heart?" Verse number 10, he says, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." He saved us. He's redeemed us. Well, here is a thought tonight. Here's a thought I'm going to preach on. He says, "Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with the honey out of the rock should I have satisfied them. We see basically the command, the desire of God, where he says in verse number 10, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. But then we see the heartbreak. Verse number 11, but my people would not hearken to my voice. When we hearken unto his voice tonight, I have a couple thoughts tonight. Number one is this. Number one, Amber, remember his power. He says in verse number 10, he says, I am the Lord thy God which brought thee. He brought you. And I've said this often. I think every once in a while we need to go back and visit our salvation. We need to go back and visit what God did the day that he saved us. But when we remember his power, Amber, I think I just put all these slides in there, right? Remember his power. Remember this. He's the creator of the universe. Since he's the creator, he can create new things in our lives. Psalm 51 says, created me a clean heart. Since he created the heavens out of nothing, he can take my old hard heart. He can take my old broken heart. And he can create me a new heart. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life that I feel like I need God to just create a new heart in me. Maybe my mind is filled with worry and frustration and anger. And I have to ask him, Lord, will you create in me a new mind? I want my mind to be that which would please you. I see in verses 5 through 9 of this passage, not only is he the creator, but he is also the deliverer. He delivered the nation of Israel, but he has delivered you and I. We've got to remember his power. Remember some of the times that he's delivered you out of some very difficult times. How many of you have ever felt like you walked through the valley of the shadow of death, yet you did fear evil, yet you were worried about what was the next step, and you thought, I just can't go another step. I'm sure that in this group here, I'm not the only one that thought, I can't make it another day. But you know what? I did. There were times in my life that I thought, I can't make another step. I don't want to see another sunrise. I don't see another sunset. I'm tired of all of this. But you know what? He delivered. And sometimes we forget. If you read the Old Testament, what is one of the things God does over and over and over again to the nation of Israel? What does he remind them of? He reminds them over and over and over again how he delivered them. You know what you and I need to be reminded of over and over and over again? How God has delivered us. You know why? Because the devil is going to tell us over and over and over again there's no hope and there's no help. But based on what God has done in my past, God is going to take care of me today and he's going to take care of me forever. I've got to remember his power. Whenever I am powerless, I've got to remember that he is the all-powerful one. But I also got to know that his power as a Savior. He saved me. Nobody else could have changed my life like Jesus. Nobody. Nothing could have happened. No amount of reform, no amount of positive thinking, no amount of drug rehab or alcohol rehab, none of that could have changed my life like Jesus did. And that's power right there. He's changed each and every one of us. You say, well, I didn't get involved in any of that. We have young people here that were saved at a young age. We have some others that were saved at a young age. And you say, well, God didn't save me from that. Yes, he did. He saved you from ever being involved in that. I'm going to tell you, that's a greater testimony than being saved from it. Amen. Being kept from it is a greater, that's a greater thing than being delivered from it. Oh, to God, that we would have more young people that would trust Christ early on and never take the first sip of alcohol, never smoke that first joint, never get involved with meth or any of the other things that destroy life. Oh, that they would walk to the altar and be pure. That, my friends, would be a revival. And we need that today. Remember His power. But if we're going to have revival, we're going to have to return. And I put this is really written basically to me. It started out as an outline for me. Return to my active prayer life. You know, you can have a prayer life that's not very active. You can have a prayer life that basically just chants. Steve and I were just talking about it. Just chant. Just a chant. Oh, Lord God. May we never get to the place that our prayer lives are just rote. When I was in Bible college, I had a semester course. It was a 3-credit course on prayer. One of the things that we were required to do in that prayer class was record our prayers on a cassette tape. That tells you how long ago it was. On a cassette tape. And then we were required to listen to them. And then our professor made us write down the phrases that we said over and over. First, at the very top was, and, oh Lord, and right on down the list. And that helped so much because then he taught us how we were just praying rote type prayers. An active prayer life. Here, and let me walk you through it. I think I can help. Look at it, verse number 10. He says, open thy mouth wide. When I think of a wide open mouth, I think of a baby bird. How many have ever seen the pictures of a baby bird in a nest, right? And the mama bird flies back in with a worm or whatever. That baby bird opens his mouth really wide. Open my mouth wide, and God says, I'll fill it. So how does that happen? Well, first of all, I open my mouth in adoration and praise of His character and His attributes. So let's take a moment tonight. We look at adoration, praise of His attributes, His character. All right. I'm going to open my mouth wide. Maybe I'm going to stop and I'm going to say, God, I want to thank You for being. What are some of the blanks we can fill in? What are some of the ways that we can praise Him for His character and His attributes? What are some of... Oh, God, I want to thank You for being merciful. And then take a moment. Don't just thank Him for being merciful, but think and consider how He's been merciful to you. What else? Thank You for being gentle. We'll come to long-suffering because that's what it's in. Gentle. Aren't you glad that God is not harsh like us? Have you ever handled a situation more harshly than the situation demanded? Gentle. God is gentle to us. Gentle with us. Gentle as a father with a child. Long-suffering. Long-suffering. You say, what does that mean? To suffer long. Patiently. Waiting. Developing His character in you. Usually whenever I think of long-suffering, I think of reoccurring sins in my life. Things that God is dealing with and has been dealing with essentially from the day that I got saved. It may have taken on a little different form, but it's still that same root issue. For me, it's long-suffering and with me in the area of pride. And it's taken on all kinds of different looks in my life. Early on, whenever I was first saved, many years, pride took on the attribute of anger. And my anger was rooted in my pride, and God dealt with that. He was gentle in that, and He was merciful in that, and He worked. And today, that anger issue is not an issue like it used to be. It's still there, and it's still right below the surface. But now pride has taken a couple different areas. And I'm thankful that God's long-suffering. So I think of these areas, and I can praise Him. I can open my mouth and adoration. The word adoration there means to adore Him, to worship Him, essentially. I'm going to worship Him because of His character and His attributes. Let's take a moment. I put in there, pause, then pray. See, I wrote this for me. Pause, okay? So pause is what we just did. We pause, okay? What should I praise Him for? Well, it's mercy. He's been merciful in my life. He's been gentle. Boy, He's been gentle. He's been long-suffering. What are some of the things that are coming to your mind right now, how He's dealt with you? Heads bowed, eyes closed for a moment. We're going to do this about four times. But you decide how you're going to praise Him, you're going to worship Him right now, and what for. And I will, and in just a moment, you'll hear me say amen, and then we'll move on. Amen. What were some of the things that just came to your mind, other than the ones that just talked? Patience. Lynette? Faithfulness. What else? For knowing you. Amen. He knows me that He still loves me. Good. What else? Steve? Forgiveness. Gary. Safety. See? Pause. We want to have a revival. We've got to remember His power. But then we got to get to the place where I reignite my personal prayer life. And my personal prayer life begins with how God is intimate with me. See, one may say long-suffering, but another say, I see it in His character, but it's not something that grips me. But I believe if we'll pause and say, God, I want to worship You in this area. I want to praise You in this area. Will You help me? I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit's going to lay it on your heart. And then that prayer life is going to be personal. Next one, Amber. Letter B. Open my mouth in confession. Now we're not going to have you guys say these out loud. Amen. But I'll open my mouth in confession. Maybe reflection. Something I'm struggling with. Maybe I open my mouth in repentance. There's nothing wrong with going to God and worshiping Him and then stopping and pausing and maybe confessing and repenting of some sins. But somewhere in that prayer life, you need to give God time to lay on your heart what He wants you to deal with. Because if I'm not careful, I only deal with the sins that I really don't want to hang on to. And the ones that I kind of like, you don't know, how many of you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? The ones that I'm not ready to give up yet, I kind of gloss over those, amen. I'll be glad to pray for the sins in Tina's life. But there may be something that I need to pause and say, okay, God, I want to see my life through your eyes? Is there something in my life and my heart, my mind that displeases you? I open my mouth wide. He'll feel it. He'll probably put his finger on that thing, that area that we're really struggling with. Not the one that we tell everybody we're struggling with, but the one that we're really struggling with. Here's a neat thing. Whenever God lays that on your heart, whenever He starts dealing with that in your heart and your life, He knows you may not quite be ready to repent of it. He knows that you might not even be in full understanding that that's a part of your life. You may fight against that at first. But as you let the Holy Spirit begin to make your heart tender, you'll realize that that is a sin and that it grieves the heart of your Heavenly Father. And you'll be willing to confess that. Amen? So let's take a moment. Maybe we need to reflect. Maybe there's something that we've confessed, but we've not really repented of. Maybe we've gone to God and said, God, forgive me for my anger. But we had no intentions of letting go of our anger. Listen, if you're not ready, willing to let go of it, you didn't really confess it, and you're sure not ready to repent of it. But whenever I begin to see my sin through the lens of God, then it begins to break my heart like it should. I can arrive at this place if I've adored Him and worshiped Him like I should. Keep in mind, this is a prayer time, and at the very beginning, God's going to lay on our hearts. Here's what God's going to lay on my heart. He's going to lay on my heart an aspect of His character that's going to deal probably with the sin that He's about to convict me of. Amen? So I've just worshiped Him for His long suffering and His forgiveness. And now He says, I'm glad we're here. And you're like, whoa. Lord, if I confess that to You, if I repent of that to You, that means I'm going to make things right with some others. And God said, yes, You just praised Me for My mercy. And I'm willing to give it if You're willing to accept it. Let's pause for a moment and ask Him to search our hearts right now. It may be something you'll have to deal with later on, but let's begin that process tonight. So let's pray together. And in a moment, I'll say amen. Amen. I've got to remember His power. I've got to return to my active prayer life. I've got to begin to open my mouth in adoration and praise of His character and His attributes. I've got to open my mouth in confession and reflection and repentance. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. All right, there's no other precursor that goes along with that. That's just a flat statement from the Word of God found in Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the word regard there means to recognize with the intent to keep. If I regard in my heart iniquity, the Lord will not. It doesn't say cannot, but He chooses not to hear me until I'm willing to deal with that. I wonder sometimes how many prayers of mine have gone unheard. Now, granted, He still hears, but He doesn't hear. Because I've regarded iniquity in my heart. Because God is telling me I need to deal with something and I refuse to. The Bible says in Isaiah 55:7, It says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. There we go back to that attribute of mercy. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon forgiveness. Next one, my active prayer life. I need to open my mouth in thanksgiving. And I touched it, Amber, but it didn't work, apparently. There it is. In thanksgiving. / I should have put be specific. Just, what are you thankful for tonight? Be specific. Don't worry, we only have two more, all right? And then I'm done with this part. But I want us to begin to get into the practice of. What are you thankful for tonight? What are you thankful for? What's something that God's done in your life recently that you're thankful for? I'm thankful Tina and I had a safe trip back from Florida. No matter safety. Just safety. Just safety. I'm glad for that. I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that most of the time the screens work. Amen. I'm thankful for the sweet spirit. I'm thankful for the visitors that God has brought to our church. Amen. I'm thankful that throughout the beginning of the year, this year, God has blessed with offerings that have met the needs. And that's a blessing. I'm thankful. I'm very thankful for one specific thing. I'm thankful that the men that are doing, putting on the crusade didn't give up on me when I did my best to ignore them. Because I just really didn't want to be involved in that. I really didn't. You say, why? Well, it's in Martinsville. I don't like Martinsville. I never have. I don't know why. I just don't like Martinsville. It's like they're on the other side of the tracks or something. You know, you can't get there from here right now. You know, you got to go someplace else first. But I think all that's opened up. But I just never really liked Martinsville. I don't know why. And I thought, I don't want Martinsville to have a Bible. Amen. I really don't. It's like, man, I don't care. I don't care one way or the other. He said, but you're a pastor. Hey, listen, pastors can get to the point where they don't care sometimes. And I just didn't. I thought, I just don't want to be a part of that. It's a lot of work. It's, you know, I'm kind of in a lazy attitude right now. But man, they kept nagging me, calling and texting. I'm like, really, just let it, give it up, man, seriously. And finally one day I answered. And when I did, the Lord smote me. I knew that was going to happen, by the way. I knew it. I just knew that was going to happen. But I did. But I'm thankful for that. Amen. And I'm thankful for what it's already done in my heart and my life. It may not even impact our church at all, but it's already impacted me. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. So what are you thankful for? Specific. Thanks, you. Yes, on that. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Okay. Amen. I understand. Amen. Mm-hmm. And so I share that Amen. Amen. Right out of the Bible. Yeah. Amen. So God's evidently working in your brother's heart and your life. Amen. Good. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Thankful for. Mary? Amen. Amen. When we get a life lesson and we don't get it, God doesn't mind giving it to us again. Amen. Amen. And that's true. That's true. I can't tell how many times. I'm thankful for that. I really am. Not always thankful for the situation. We know that all things. I'm not always thankful for the all things. Good. Thankful for. Anybody else? Thankful for. Teresa. Amen. 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 You know, you say peace. There's a lot of folks in our world today, a lot of believers in our world today, that their homes are not peaceful in a lot of ways. Sometimes it's the marriages within them, relationships within them. Sometimes it could be Russia trying to drop bombs on you. You know, it could be a lot of different ways. But I'm thankful for that. That's a good thought. I'm thankful for the peace of my home. And I walk out on the deck of my house and I look across the field and I think oftentimes God's been good to me. God's been good to me. And then my next thought is whenever I see Rosa, our 32-year-old donkey, laying on her back with all four feet up in the air, my next thought is she dead? She just likes laying like that. And the neighbors will text, hey, we think your donkey's died. No, she's just sleeping. One day she is going to die, and everybody's going, and we're just going to ignore her for about 3 days sitting down. It's like, oh, it's in the world. But I watch the goats, and Tina let out all the baby goats, and they're all out there. And to watch them bound around with boundless energy and all that. And I looked, and it's getting ready to be spring. You can smell it almost. And living most of my life in Florida, one of the neat things about Indiana is the spring. It is so dead, so nothing. And then, bang. And it is so awesome to me because every time I see those trees bloom and the tulips, I love seeing the tulips just burst out. I just think of the resurrection, new life out of death. And I love this next couple weeks, maybe even a month or two of the year because it's so neat. And I'm thankful for that. Okay, let's take a moment. Let's pray. Are you thankful for your family? Are you thankful for your spouse? Maybe it's a good job. Maybe it's the peace of your home. But don't just pray it. Ask God. Take a moment right now and say, God, what do you want me to be thankful for? I want to see my life through your eyes. Let's pray. And you'll hear me say amen in just a moment. Amen. Letter D, an active prayer life. An active prayer life is whenever I open my mouth in supplication, often seeking the needs of others and myself. We spend so much of our time praying for ourselves that we forget to pray for others. I've said this for a long time. And recently it's really hit home. Challenged parents and grandparents, you know, oftentimes we pray for children or grandchildren that are away from God and out of church. And we pray for them in a manner like, oh God, will you bring them back to you? With the mindset that they're really just backslidden. But you know, there comes a point in their lives that maybe we need to transition from not praying that they're backslidden and maybe praying like they're lost. Like they were never saved to begin with. See, when we begin to pray in that manner, I think it'll add a new burden to our prayers. This morning, Amber was talking to me in my office. One of the reasons why I had such a difficult time this morning. Brother Cain is laying on my heart. Tom has been my friend for a long time. And we've seen God do some awesome things together. But Amber is telling me today about AJ and his Facebook. AJ's our youngest one. And AJ's been away from God for a little bit. But now on AJ's Facebook page, where it tells about him, who he works for and all that, it says something similar to this. I no longer believe in God, so quit asking. You know what that tells me I should be praying for? Maybe a salvation. So whenever I'm seeking who God would want me to pray for and how, don't be shocked by who He lays on your heart. And how? Because there may be a veneer over the top of it that we don't see, but God does. Now, that doesn't mean that we have the right to gossip about them and say, oh, God revealed this to me in secret prayer. No. But what it means is we ought to get a new burden for them. This right here is purposely put at number 4 in the list. And the reason why is once I arrive at this point, I believe I'm ready to intervene on behalf of somebody else. Some of the greatest miracles in the Bible were when someone intervened for someone else. The illustration right off the top of my head is whenever Abraham intervened for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. There was no love lost there, I can tell you. Yeah, he did. Why did he do that? Well, it was because of Lot. Yeah, but there was more to it. He was willing to go to the mat with God over that. And I believe the only reason why he was willing to do that is because God laid upon his heart that's what he should do. Because Abraham, above all else, was a man that walked with God. Whenever I get to this place in my prayer life, I may have a prayer list. I may be praying for people like Tom Cain and his cancer. I might be praying for other things. But maybe God will put somebody new on my heart. Maybe God will put a new situation on my heart. Maybe He'll put something on my heart right now that has time limits. It's like, Lord, I don't know why you want me to pray for Brother Wendell and his testimony right now, but I pray for that. It could be at that moment where he was at work and he's talking to one of his coworkers about clicking on the scan for the salvation video, which he did that last week and had several of his coworkers watch that salvation video off of that little card. It could be that God wants me to pray and I'm praying and God says, I want you to pray for Lynette and the situation at her work today and I'm praying for that. Or it could not even be during my regular prayer time. I'm going about my business and all of a sudden it's like God opens my heart and He wants me to pray right now. I really believe that there are people in our lives that need for you and I to pray for them. I got to remember His power. I've got to re-energize or reopen my personal prayer life. Number three, I've got to realize His promises. Here's a promise. Verse number 10. The Word of God says, open thy mouth wide. And what's the last phrase? I will fill it. You know what He says? You trust Me and I will keep My promise to you. This is based on My obedience. If I open My mouth wide, if I open My heart wide, He'll fill it. But His promises mean nothing to me unless I'm obeying. Child of God, the first and last thing your God asks of you is simple, universal, unchanging obedience. Andrew Murray wrote that years ago. He said, the one thing God asked of Adam in the garden was obedience. The one thing by which a creature can glorify God or enjoy His favor and blessing is obedience. The single cause of the power of sin in the world and the ruin of it was caused by disobedience. Jesus said, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. I need to make a note, a pause right here. Obedience is learned. Obedience doesn't come natural. Whenever you read a promise in the Word of God, step out on that promise, obey it. Most Christians are saved. When God begins to work in their life, they begin to grow. Challenges are met. Man, things change and continue on, and God convicts, and they trust His conviction. They repent of that sin, and they move forward. But somewhere in every Christian's life, we come to a wall, we come to a place, we come to something that God deals with in our lives that we're not willing to let Him deal with. And you know what the sad thing is? Right here is where we stop. And we can move. We cannot move forward until we deal with that right there. It may be that life lesson that Mary is talking about. It may be a life lesson that God brought into my life so that I would learn something, that I would see something in my life. I ain't get it. So guess what happens here in this place? I get a lot of life lessons. Amen. What would be simpler? Just obey. I believe every Christian faces that multiple times in their lives. Hundreds probably. But I think there's probably about 100 or 200 really major ones. And then there are probably a dozen super major ones. Things that we thought were part of our personality and our character, and God puts His finger on it. He says, I want to change that. And we realize, but Lord, if I do that, and we can make all excuses that we want, but while we're making those excuses, realize this. This is where we've stopped. And we're not growing in grace one more inch until we deal with that. And I've known Christians, I know Christians today, that are just the same type of Christian that they were 20 years ago, with this exception. You won't remain right here. If you're unwilling to deal with this, until finally, people are sitting at home today. They should be in church. But I believe God brought them to a point There are some that have missed church for so long that they're embarrassed to come back. You know what that is? That's that point. But they're not going to remain here. They're going to grow colder and colder and colder. Those are some of the people that I need to intercede for. You need to intercede for. Realize His promises, because it's based on obedience, it's based on mercy, it's based on His grace. The promises of God are realized in my life when I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to lead in my life minute by minute. Revival will never happen on a unified level until it happens on a personal level. How's your life based on what God wants you to live, on how God wants you to live? How is it? Sometimes we're afraid to ask God to search us and try us and see if there be any wicked way within us. Are you willing? I guess here's the question I put in here just for me. The first question is this. Are there changes that need to be made in my life? Yeah, some I'm aware of. And then I put the next one is this. Am I willing to let God make the needed changes? See, that's really where the rubber meets the road. Like, okay, are there areas? Yeah, am I willing to let Him? I believe if I've prayed like I should, I'll get to the place where I'll say, yes, I am. I'm uncomfortable with it. I'm a little scared with it. But I'm willing to let Him. And you know what? That's exactly where I need to be at in my Christian life. Heads bowed, eyes closed tonight. We're not going to have a piano playing invitation.